People often ask me, how did I cope with working in specialist education with kids with extreme support needs, ongoing violence and dangerous behaviours? And the very real truth is, I had a really awesome, supportive and wonderful team around me. You see, you really cannot successfully sustain any kind of career in this space in education on your own. You need your crew, you need your support staff, and you need strong leadership. And to be constantly trained in preventative, responsive, and de-escalation practices. I also want to just acknowledge from the get-go that I have been so incredibly fortunate throughout my career to have had all of these things whilst working in specialist educational settings. And I have worked with some of the most amazing humans I have ever known. I once talked a beautiful 10-year-old boy down from a window ledge. If you have ever taught in the UK, many of the schools are beautiful old red brick buildings with multiple levels and so many stairwells and often caged playgrounds on the rooftop. A vast difference from the abundance of space that we are so flipping privileged to have in so many of our schools in Australia. It was actually one of the first things I can remember thinking about when I returned to teaching in Australia. Wow, our kids have so much green space and freedom to move their bodies. Something I think we kind of take for granted here in education. Anyway, this beautiful kid was working through some really traumatic information that had recently been delivered to him. And he was struggling. He was really struggling, guys, to process what this actually meant for him and his developing sense of identity. He was the most delightful kid, creative, warm, handsome, and he had the most beautiful white teeth and the kindest heart. I can still clearly see his face smiling back at me. But on that day, he was not happy, and he was about to jump out that window. And in that moment, it took all of my skills to ensure that he did not end his life that day. I'm sure you can imagine that that scenario was traumatic and deeply impactful for me and the amazing staff that were supporting me on this particular day. Why am I sharing this story with you? Well, I actually often think that we forget that teachers are like service providers. These days, they are required to be an integral emotional support for so many kids. Yet they are not provided with the same supports that other professionals have access to. Most allied health professionals or medical professionals have access to something called peer mentoring, professional debriefs, and mental health supports amongst colleagues or other professionals. In all of my time working in specialist education settings, we were required to attend professional debriefs. On the days when there were unforeseen critical events, which I can tell you there were many, we would always, always stay back after school and debrief until every single member of staff felt regulated and safe to go home. Yet these days, our amazing teachers are rarely given opportunities to professionally debrief after a really difficult day with their students. It's possibly why we see a really high rate of teachers using alcohol to support their nervous system. And please note, this comes with no judgment from me. It's kind of a running joke in education how much teachers love wine. And I can honestly say that many moons ago, smashing down a bottle of wine after a long day on the job was an easy feat for me. And don't even get me started on the amount of bottles of wine I was always gifted at the end of the school year. Nowadays, though, guys, I am tipsy on two glasses. but I definitely believe that alcohol was one of my coping mechanisms, especially during my time in the UK. But hey, I also used to regularly dance on tabletops and catch the first tube home at 5 a.m. and still make it to work on Monday. Oh, those were the days. All jokes aside, I'd really like to raise the very real issue of how our teachers are taking home the stress after a hard day or a violent incident. Perhaps they've had to clear a room after a child has had an outburst, and the very real impacts that this will have had not only on that teacher, but on the children who also may have witnessed it. How we support and wrap around after these incidents as a school community is so vitally important. I heard recently, sadly, of a school that sent home an email to the school community saying that there had been a dangerous incident, named the classroom, and that all of the students had to be removed to keep them safe. Now, this was a small school, so it was pretty obvious to most of the parents in that school community who that child was. And I gotta say, it absolutely broke my heart for that kid and his family, as they had already been shamed by members of the school community and he had been labelled as that kid. You know the ones I'm talking about. The ways in which teachers are given professional support to debrief, not vent in the staff room, means that they are much more likely to go home having processed their emotions and regulated their nervous systems. They are much less likely to go through the bottle shop drive-through on the way home, snap at their own kids or partners, and they have professionally been supported by school leaders or colleagues, which means they're much more likely to show up the next day. So why aren't we professionally debriefing more in education? Is it because we don't have the time, or is it because we actually don't understand the importance of the role that professionally debriefing plays in supporting our nervous system and success in education? The key components and purpose of the debrief is to assess the impact of the critical incident on the people who were involved. It also encourages us to process our thoughts, emotions, and experiences associated with that event in the safety of others supporting us. It's an opportunity for us to reflect and predict future events and reactions in the case that that situation may rise again. By bringing closure to the incident and re-anchoring the individual back into community resources is a really important way for us to ensure that we're looking after our teachers after a critical event. And it doesn't just stop with teachers. We can absolutely debrief with the children in our classes too. And I would highly encourage any teachers listening to this that they do make space and time to debrief with the kids after a critical event has occurred in the classroom. Don't just pretend it didn't happen. You don't have to pretend that everything's okay. If time allows, I would encourage that you try to do it before the kids go home, as this will prevent them from transferring information over to their parents in a heightened state. Debriefing with kids also gives them an opportunity to share their concerns or any emotions that might be coming up for them. It's also an incredible opportunity for you to re-establish relational safety and reiterate that you understand that little Johnny was having a really hard time and you know that he did not intentionally mean to hurt you or any of the other kids. When you lead from a place of compassion and empathy, you will find your students will do the same. Because in all of my experience, it's so clear to me that so many of these kids are stressed and their behaviour is not a cognitive choice. And how we speak about them and champion for them after an incident is really important. I often think about my little mates and many of the kids that I taught in the UK. I wonder if they survived their adverse childhood trauma experiences and went on to achieve great things in their lives. And whilst I know I may have been a part of their healing journey, they absolutely were a part of my own too. I hope that this conversation has educated you about the need to look after your own nervous system, support your amazing colleagues and school community, and most importantly, the beautiful little brainiacs in your classroom. I could never have survived and thrived working in specialist educational settings and had the most amazing career that I did without all of the things we have just discussed. And I actually don't believe that we can continue to keep labelling our schools as mainstream settings. We have become so much more like specialist educational settings, and it's time for us to really start thinking differently. We have to start thinking like specialist educators and implementing the many amazing, wonderful tools that other educators, like me, have been implementing with great success for decades. More of which I will delightfully share with you in another episode. So stay tuned for that and let's keep the conversation going. Well, gang, that concludes another amazing episode of the Child Charmer podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you truly love the conversation just as much as me. I'd be so flipping grateful if you took the time to like or share this episode, or even better, leave me a review. Make sure you also subscribe so that you don't miss a thing. Come on over and join me on my Instagram page at Chrissy Chaos to Calm, where I am sharing daily snippets of my life, work and play, and where I have built the most amazing supportive community, where I am always encouraging them to